There's no use leaving a good chapter like that till we get all the goody out of it, is there? Might not get it all out of there, but let's get as much of it as we can tonight. We'll just start reading with the first verse, chapter 3 of the second epistle of the Apostle Peter. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both the which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. In other words, he said, I know I'm not telling you something new, something you've never heard before. I just want to stir up your minds to remember something that's very, very important. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, the scoffers are saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things remain the same. Everything's just like it's always been, and we still don't see Jesus. You Pentecostal preachers have been telling us for over 50 years, Jesus is coming. And now we see everything just like it's always been. Where's Jesus? Where is that promise that you told us about? And every time there was a war, you said, that's a sign. Jesus is coming. Get ready, the Lord's coming. Every time there was an earthquake, you said, that's a sign. The Lord's coming. But we have earthquakes, we have wars, we have earthquakes, we have wars. Where's the promise that you gave us, Jesus is coming? That's bad enough coming from the scoffers in the outside world. But I'll tell you, the tragic thing is when that kind of attitude gets inside of the heart of God's people, that we're no longer looking for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't let anybody even hear us say we don't think Jesus is coming. We wouldn't verbalize it or vocalize it. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, not talking about the scoffers, talking about the servants of the Lord who have drifted away, and he called them that evil servant of the Lord, shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. He wouldn't say that out loud. Doesn't want him, but he knows that's not our doctrinal belief. But he doesn't have to say it out loud. Jesus went on to describe that the way he treats his fellow servants proves that he's not looking for the Lord to come. Or he begins to do things to his fellow servants he wouldn't do for anything in the world if he really felt like Jesus may come today. And so that's tragic when it gets into the heart and the lives of God's people, that we're no longer really anticipating the imminent return of Jesus. Really, it's a barometer, a spiritual barometer. For in the New Testament, those men of God filled with the Holy Ghost felt that Jesus surely must come in our lifetime. They were looking for the Lord to come at any time, any moment. The Holy Spirit that was in their life witnessed that surely Jesus, his return must be so close at hand. You remember the Apostle James said, be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That was 1900 years ago he said that. But he felt that. He felt that in his spirit. The Holy Ghost that was in his life made him feel the coming of the Lord must be at hand. You remember the great Apostle Paul said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. The grace of God's a wonderful teacher. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's what the grace of God will, when he gets to working in your life, it'll teach you that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What else does it teach us? that we should be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit burns brightly in our hearts, there's something about Him being in our lives that makes us anticipate the imminent return of our Lord. Because whether we feel it or believe it, Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming soon. No matter what the scoffers say, no matter what the evil servants say, Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming soon. But the scoffer said, where is the present? Where is the promise? Where is this glorious promise that you gave us of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter answered those scoffers. He had an answer for them. In fact, he had several answers for them. And the greatest answer of them all was what he said, reading between the lines, is what you fellows don't realize out there when you say things like that. You don't realize it, but you're challenging the Word of God. You're challenging the greatest power on the face of this earth. And that's the Word of the living God. You know, one of the most wonderful studies in the New Testament is to go through and listen to our Lord as He spoke powerful words while He was here on this earth, and see what happened when Jesus spoke. You talk about a wonderful experience. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus one day, and He said to the disciples, He said, roll the stone away. Martha said, Master, said, he's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. You remember, God would not even permit Jesus to enter into that stage of corruption when He said that the Lord would not see corruption. God brought Him out in 3 days and 3 nights. But Martha said, by now he stinketh. But Jesus said, Martha, did not tell you that if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God? And Jesus turned around to that tomb and he cried with a loud voice. The scripture said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound in grave clothes came out of that grave, still bound in those grave clothes. That's the powerful word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you scoffers are challenging. You're challenging the word of the living God by your finite understanding. That little peanut brain of yours, you're trying to challenge the word of the living God. I thought tonight, this very evening when I was rereading that passage about the Lord calling Lazarus out of that tomb, I thought in my own life of how He stood at my heart's door one day. And He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And deep called unto deep. And my soul said deep within me, I believe it. I believe it. It's true. Thank God my sins are gone. And that soul of mine that was dead in trespass and sin came out of that grave, bound in grave clothes. But I'll tell you, that sweet pastor I had helped me unwrap those old grave clothes off of me. And I was shouting in that church alive, and I'm still alive tonight because of the authority of His Word. Son, thy sin shall be forgiven thee. No sweeter, no more powerful words in all this universe. When you hear the Son of God speak, that's what you scoffers are challenging. Just because you don't believe it, just because you haven't seen it, you're challenging God's eternal word. You remember when Jesus was asleep in the boat on a pillow? You're not scriptural unless you sleep on a pillow. Bible said He was asleep in the boat on the pillow. And is in the middle of a great storm. Storm was throwing that boat right and left. And those disciples were afraid. And they went and awakened the master and said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and rebuked the waves. And there was a great calm when Jesus said, peace, be still. Those disciples were amazed and they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? I remember one night when I had been going through a very severe test physically, only 35 years old. I had already built two new churches in my young pastorate, and I guess I had been burning the candle at both ends and was so distressed I thought I'd had a heart attack. I think I've told you many times about that, and how that we in those days we didn't go to doctors, but it was just the way we felt in those days. That's the way we felt like we should live for God, either just trust him all the way. And my church sent me to Kerrville. That's when it was just a little place for preachers to rest. There were just three or four cabins there. And, the Camp Pearl Wheat had not been developed except just to be used by ministers whenever they had a little time off. Didn't cost them anything. And my church sent me up there to rest and try to recover my health. And I was in terrible shape, physically, mentally. It was so devastating to me. I felt like I was going to die at any time. And my wife and I were so distressed. And that night, Jesus came and stood by our bed. I didn't see him, but my wife did. And he just held out his hand over that bed and said those same words to us that night, peace, be still. And I'm going to tell you one thing. When I had some tests made Easter of 1991, thought I'd had a heart attack or whatever it was, that doctor said in all of his years as a cardiologist, he'd never seen a heart in that good a condition. He said, Sister Lenny, your husband has a heart of a 20-year-old. I tell you, Jesus' words are powerful, aren't they? I said, Jesus' words are powerful. And you scoffers, Peter said, you're challenging the word of God. And then he quotes right from the book of Genesis, and he says, and of this they're willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. God spoke this world into existence with just his word, so that the things are seen were not made of things that do appear. That's what Paul said in the book of Hebrews. God didn't take sticks and stones and steel and make a world. God said, let there be light. He just said it. He just said it. That's all he's got to do is to say it. That's the power of his word. He just says it and it's done. And Peter's telling those scoffers, that's what you're challenging. You're challenging the power, the creative power of the word of God. And then he said, don't you know that judgment came on this world because of sin? In the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, it said God looked and saw that the very thoughts and intents of man's heart was only evil continually. All they could think of was something that's wrong and something that's evil and something that's ungodly. And it came to the point that God was sad in his heart that it even made man. And judgment fell on this world by the power of God's word, Peter said. The world that then was being overflowed with water perished. By the word of God it perished, the world that then was. God just spoke it and the judgment came on this world. Power of his word. And he said this same world is held in judgment of to come afar by the power of the same word. It's God's word that's holding back the judgment of fire on this world right now. That's what Peter said. I'm going to tell you this, the fire is going to come, but it's going to come when God speaks the word, when God says it. And so he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. God doesn't have a watch. He doesn't have a calendar. He doesn't need any kind of timepiece. God weighs everything in the light of eternity. And with God, a thousand years that have passed, or 2,000 years that have gone by since he gave us this promise, is just like a couple of days that have passed as far as God's concerned. But the other side of the coin is that a day with God is also as a thousand years. And there's going to come a place and a time in the economy of God where if God had to wait another day, it'd be so incumbent upon him to return that it'd be like asking to God to wait 1,000 more years. And he that shall come and will not tarry, because God doesn't look at time like we do and like the scoffer does and like the world does. I'm going to tell you, the promise is Jesus is coming. But Peter said, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward. You want to know why he's tarried? He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad he waited long enough for you to get under the blood? Think of those years you wasted. Think of that life you wasted, that time you wasted. And God in his patience, and God in his mercy, and God in his long-suffering put up with a whole lot. But then he found us at the foot of an old-fashioned altar one day and said to us, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Praise God. And we made peace with God and got things right with God, got our life under the blood, and got ready for the coming of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to tell you one thing. Jesus is coming. I've said a lot of times, I wish people would read the Bible through from back to front. A few times. We've read it so many, tried to go through it so many times that we started over so many times. Genesis 1 and 1, beginning to beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And everybody knows Genesis 1 and 1. We get over to the book of Leviticus and we bog down and we get convicted 6 months later and start over again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But if we were reading it from back to front, one of the first things we'd run into would be the last words of Jesus, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Whether we believe it or think it or feel it or anything, you don't change the word of God. God's promise is Jesus is coming. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I said, he's going to fix something up for us. He's building us a place on the other side. He's building us a mansion on the other side. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You know, they have historical debunkers that make a living out of trying to put down our American heroes, the great men, great statesmen of our history books, and try to tell us all of the bad things they can think of and debunk all of the honor that we have given to these great men of the past, like Washington and Lincoln and Jefferson and all of the great leaders, the founders of our nation. They're called historical debunkers. And I found those same kind of people that I call spiritual debunkers trying to tell me that that's just pie in the sky, that these mansions are going to be a cabin in the corner of glory land. But I'm going to tell you one thing, God's going to prepare a place for me. And he's promised me when he goes away, he's going to come again. He hadn't been gone 5 minutes, and that angel stood there telling those disciples, "Why stand you gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you've seen go away shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Wouldn't it be wonderful if he came tonight? Well, glory to God. That'd be a good finish to this 23rd anniversary, Brother Granberry, if the trump of God were to sound. Well, it's going to happen. In the book of John, we're told that from the words of Jesus, he said, "The time is coming, and now is, when they that are in the grave shall hear his voice." Look at that. "When they that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now there's a resurrection you don't hear about on Easter Sunday morning, but it's going to be just as sure and certain as a resurrection of the just. All that are in the grave is going to hear that voice. Not at the same time. The scriptures tell us, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. For on such the second death hath no power. But the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished." And they're going to be called out of that grave. And the sea's going to give up the dead in it. And death and hell is going to give up the dead that are in them. And they're going to stand before the throne of God. And the books are going to be opened. And another book is going to be opened, which is the book of life. "And whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And you have heard it tonight. That's the word of the Lord. And so that brings us to the most important question of our life. Is your name written there? Is it well with our soul tonight? Where do you stand with God this evening? Or sure is this preacher standing up here struggling, trying to get the word of God out? As sure as I'm standing here preaching to you tonight, there's coming a time when all the dead are going to stand before God and the books are going to be opened. And we're going to be judged out of those things that are written in the books. Well, I found so many wonderful things studying about those books. There might be some pages in there in the history of your life. And believe you me, God, he's a good bookkeeper. He's got it all down. He hadn't missed a thing. He's got it all down. And he comes to some of those pages in your life where there were things that you and I did that were not too good. But I'm glad to report to you tonight that when he comes to one of those pages in my life, instead of that bad thing being on that page, it's going to be a white page, white as snow, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ooh, glory, have you got it all under the blood tonight? I said, have you got it all under the blood tonight? Get that life under the blood, for Jesus is coming. And Jesus said, "What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." Jesus said again, "In an hour you think not, church." He was talking to the church. And he said, "Church, in an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh." And brother, I want you to know there's coming a day when the trump of God's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. No matter what the scoffers say, no matter what the unbelievers say, Jesus is coming soon. What a blessed, blessed hope the church has tonight. Jesus is coming soon. Is your name written there? On the pages, white and fair? Thank God my sins are gone tonight, buried in the depth of the sea, never to be mentioned against me again. Thank God they're gone, Brother Granberry. Hallelujah. I think we better stop right here and bow our heads together. Ask God to have His way in this altar service this evening. Who knows? There may be precious souls standing in the valley of decision here tonight. Things are not right between you and God. You've wasted a lot of your life already. You've tried to show that you're big enough and wise enough to make life work without God. But it won't work. You can't make God. You can't make life work without God. There's something about the way God's built us. It just won't work without Him. We've got to have God. And you'll slip up that hand tonight and say, pray for me, Brother Lenny. All's not well between me and God. Yes, sir, I see that hand. God bless you, sir. Are there? Yes, yes, I see that hand, sir. God bless you. All's not well between me and God. And I fear God tonight, Brother Lenny. I don't care what people think. Things are not right between me and the Lord. And I've wasted too many years already. Slip that hand up. Others here, yes, ma'am, I see that hand. God bless you. I know it's hard for me to see around the whole circle here at once. Maybe I'll miss some hands. Quickly, are there others? Preacher, please pray with me tonight. I need God. Things are not right between me and God. And I know my heart said that those words that you preach from the book are true. And I don't want to be among those unbelievers and scoffers that doubt the Word of God. I want to be ready. I want to get my life ready to meet Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest to your souls. The sweetest life a human being can live. The sweetest, the most wonderful life a human being can live on planet Earth is to live a life that's surrendered to God. Are there others? Quickly, Brother Lenny, I'm tired of wasting my years and my life. I need God's help. Is there another one anywhere here this evening? Join these three or four and say, pray for me, preacher. I won't embarrass you, but I want to help you to find God like someone helped me years ago. Quickly, slip that hand up and right back down anywhere else. Brother Lenny, all's not well between me and God. Quickly. Our kind Heavenly Father, we're so honored, Lord, to have been permitted to preach Your Word tonight, to preach the truth of Thy eternal, all-powerful Word. And You promised in that book that Your Word would not return void, but it would accomplish Your purpose and Your plan. And we ask that that be done, especially in these lives, God, that You yearn for tonight, these who have been drifting down the stream of life without You, without the peace of God. They've been drifting down the stream of life, Lord, away from You and trying to make it. But Lord, their hearts are hungry tonight and they've raised their hand as an indication they're hungry for You, Lord. They want the peace of God. They want forgiveness, Lord. They want Your mercy like You've given thousands and millions of us through these centuries. We ask You to give it to them tonight, Lord. Let the peace of God come into their lives as they repent and ask for forgiveness and trust in Jesus. Let the Word be fulfilled in their lives as they pass from death to life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand together all over the building, please. Lead us, Brother Dwayne, please, in a good invitational song. Whatever. Please stand tenderly before the Holy Spirit and listen to Him tonight.
To the cross, is thy heart right?
Oh, yes, Jesus.
With God.
Have Your way, Lord.
Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right?
Join this preacher tonight and say, Brother Lenny, I've got a lot to be thankful for this evening. I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to join me. These old-fashioned altars, according to the scripture, are supposed to be a meeting place with God. I want you to come and thank Him for everything He's done for you this year. We're about to finish one more year. Come and let's find a place to stand across the front of this building, around these old-fashioned altars, and let's meet with God. Those of you that raised your hand that feel a hunger for getting right with God, make peace with Him tonight. Get that life under the blood. Get things made right with Him before you leave this building. Come on, let's worship Him tonight.